Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Zayin, and we are three lines from the bottom of daf Mem Vav Amid Beis V'Omar Rava. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Chav and Miriam Bas Malka Freida and Shloima Ben Chayaleh. So we're moving along in very technical dafin in Perek Eilu Treifos. Specifically, we're discussing the anatomy and physiology, the laws of treifus, of the rea, of the lungs, more specifically, different memras that the great Amora Rava said with regards to the rea. Says the Gemara, V'amar Rava, Rava said, Hani tarti uni, two lobes of the lungs, the srichin lahadadi, that are attached to each other by some adhesion, less lahu bedika, they do not require bedika. The reason they don't require bedika is because that in and of itself is a simin muvik of a treifa, and as a result, what's the point of being bedik? After the shechita, the shechet did a bedika to determine whether or not this animal was a treifa. Well, if you see two uni that are srichin lahadadi, says Rava in a rather dramatic way, less lubadika. Rava could have simply said, it's a sign of a treifa. But he said it with a gishmak. If you have this situation inside the rea, don't bother checking. That is without a doubt a sign of a treifa. V'lei amaron, said Rava, the only time this is true, elo shelo kesedron, in the event that the two uni, the two lobes of the lungs that are attached to each other, are not two lungs that are naturally next to each other. Aval kesidram, but in the event that it's two lobes that are next to each other, that are attached by this sircha, this adhesion, hainu revisayu, that's the natural way that they grow, and as a result, that in and of itself would not be the sign of a treifa. It's interesting to note that these three lines right here, in a way, underpin what, from a halacha l'maisa standpoint, is the majority of hilchos treifos. So you've probably heard of the term kosher versus glat kosher versus glat bis yosef. That machloikis is related to another term that should be somewhat familiar, and that is sirchos. The makar to the concept of the sircha is three lines of Gemara, Chulam and Vav Amud Beis. Now, to be feared, the Gemara is going to revisit this idea again on Daf Mem Ches, which is tomorrow's Daf, and Be'ezer Hashem, in the raid on Daf Mem Ches and Daf Mem Tes, we're going to go through Tzizamin, the background to understanding the difference between kosher, glat kosher, and then the Spitz of the Spitz, which is the glat beis yosef. But for now, just to understand poshup shan in the Gemara, Rava said that if you have two lobes, these wings, ears, whatever other adjective Chazal used to describe, but the lobes of the rea that are attached to each other, that could be a problem. But it's only if the two lobes that are attached to each other are not lobe A and lobe B. Because if that's the case, haini rivisayo, if it's A and C, or B and D, or C and E, that's when you're running yourself into issues. There's a big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, Pashup Shah, why is it that a sircha is a treifa? Rashi says that the reason a sircha is a treifa is because what causes this adhesion? It's probably because there was some hole in the lung, and the natural healing process of that hole created this sircha. Point is that the sircha is a sign of the fact that there was a nekev, and if there was a nekev, that would be a problem. Tosfos asks a lot of kashas on Rashi. One of the more obvious kashas on Rashi is that in the event that a sircha is a sign that there was a hole, so what's the difference if the sircha is shaloi kesidron or if it's kesidron? At the end of the day, you could have two lobes that are mamish next to each other, but if there's a sircha, and scientifically what that means is there was a nekev in the rea, so if there was a nekev in the rea, there was a nekev in the rea. It's for that reason Tosfos learns that the reason a sircha is a problem is not because it's a sign that there already was a hole, but rather it's a sign of what's going to come. It's a sign that there's going to be a hole. And that's why there's a distinction. In the event that these are two unim that are not next to each other, so then the tension with the sircha is going to create the nekev. If they're next to each other, hainu revisayu, they're growing in their natural form, and there's no reason to assume that this is going to develop into a nekev. Now what's Pashup Shan Rashi? It's Mavur and Rashi, that even though a hole in the rea is a treifa, That's the Mishnah. We saw a lot of bad in yesterday's daf. We'll see more bad in today's daf. But at the same time, there is this idea that in the event that we can ascertain that the hole healed itself properly in a way where you don't have to assume that there's going to be some sort of relapse afterwards and it's going to go back to being in a state where there's a nekev, well, the matziv of the nekev bereya gets reversed, and as a result, you don't have to worry about it. The reason the Rishonim struggle with this is because there is a Mefurash Gemara later in Perek Elu Treifas, but the Gemara says you can't reverse a Treifa. So if you can't reverse a Treifa, you can't reverse a Treifa. So good, you have to start saying Svaras. But either way, that's what's Mavur in Shittas Rashi. That as much as a Nekev in the Reya would be a Treifa, but at the same time, to the extent that it healed in what we perceive being a permanent way, that would undo it. That's the difference between if the Sircha is Shaloi Kisidron versus if it's Kisidron. If it's Shaloi Kisidron, there's a Nekev that's not going to heal. If it's Kisidron, there's a Nekev that's going to heal. But again, this is all Shittas Rashi. According to Tosfos, the Sircha is not a sign that there was a Nekev. The Sircha is just a sign that there is going to be a Nekev. And the only time the Sircha is a sign that there's going to be a Nekev is if it's like Kisidron, if it's Kisidron not. Again, we went through this first Gemara a little bit more because it's so critical and so crucial in terms of the backdrop to understanding the halacha l'maisa of the laws of Treifas. Either way, another memra from Rava. Amar Rava. Rava said on the top of Daf Mem Zayin Amad Aleph, Hani tarti bui desmich la dadi. If you look at the lungs and you see two blisters that are right next to each other, less lubidikusa, you don't have to be baidik. The reason is because that's a sign that for sure there was some sort of nekev. Rashi says, Rava had some sort of messiah that in the event that you see two blisters next to each other, for sure there was a nekev. Chada, what would be if there's one blister, but umischazi katarti, it looks like two, so you're trying to figure out is it one or two. One blister is not a sign of a nekev in the rea. Two blisters, yeah. So you are trying to figure out it's one or two. The point is you can't tell. My sin on silva, so what you do is you bring a needle, old school ubazinala, and you make a little bit of a hole. If all of the pus that's inside this blister comes out of that one hole, chadi, obviously it's one. And it's going to be kosher. If only part of it comes out, well, that means that there were really two blisters there. That's why only part of it went out. It's the part that was in the blister that you popped. Well, if that's the case, it's going to be considered a treifa. Amar Rava. Rava said, hey, uni is the reya. So the reya has five of these unim, these ears, these lobes. Apa klapi gavra, in the event that the animal is hanging from its hind legs with its face facing the gavra, facing the person, facing the sheikhet, the baidik, the person who's working with this animal. Well, if that's the setup, then klasimi amina, this gavra is going to see three unim to his right, meaning the right side of the reya, v'tarti mismola, and there's going to be two to the left. Says Ravi, these are the halachas. Chaser, if there's less than five, or yeser, or there's more than five, or chalef, or instead of three to the right and two to the left, the ratios are reversed. Maybe it's three to the left and two to the right. Treif, in all these cases, it's going to be a treif. Stating that, zok the gemara, yeser to, dasoy, the kami de merem. There was once an animal that had one extra lobe in its lung that came to merem. Obviously, somebody brought it. So Rav Acha was sitting at the doorstep of Meremer's house. So when this person, the Sheikhet, walked out of Meremer's house, Rav Acha turns to him and he tells him, "My Omalach, what did he tell you?" I'm curious to hear. He was getting shimish, was Rav Acha. Stam Rav Acha, by the way, is Rav Acha Brei Derava. So Rav Acha Brei Derava is sitting at the doorstep of Meremer and he's trying to get a little bit of shimish. So what did Meremer say? Amalei Achshara Nahali. He told me it's kosher. Meaning the fact that it has an extra lobe is fine. Amalei. So Rav Acha told this butcher, he said, Hada Ayla Kame, I think you should go ask them a second time. So the butcher goes in and he tells Meremer that, you know, Rav Acha is sitting at the doorstep and he wants me to get a second opinion from you. Meaning, he wants you to take another look at it. Amalei, he told him, Zel Eimalei, the man of Yosef Abba, go tell the person that's sitting at the door, in other words, Rav Acha to us, Les Hilchas HaKavasi de Rav B'Yaseres, that I know where he's coming from. He's coming from the fact that Rav had a whole Shulchan Aruch of how you deal with a lung that's like a little eccentric. Well, as it relates to what he said regarding Yaseres, we don't paskin like Rav. In other words, it's going to be cautious. Stating that, you have to read the fine print. Hani, immediately, when is this true? The kind of Bedarah, uni. This is only true if that extra uni is on the row of where all the unis are. Avo beni beni. But let's say it's in between the right side and the left side, so it's stuck in between, treifa, then already it's going to be a treifa. Says the Gemara Maisa. Who beni beni does the kamid Rav Ashi? There was a beni beni type of reya that had an extra lobe, but it was in between. And it once came in front of Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi lemitrefe. Rav Ashi wanted to make it into a treifa, right? Because there's an idea of a yaseres being a treifa. And even though Mereimar held that you can be makel, but even he agrees that if it's beni beni, it's going to be a treifa. So Rav Ashi wanted to for sure make this into a treifa. Amalei Rav Huna Mar Bar Avyas. Rav Huna Mar, the son of Avya, told Rav Ashi, Kol Hani Chivi Bar Yosa Hachi Yislo. So I don't think you should make this into a treifa because there are so many animal bar yosas that have this extra uni in their reya. So what's Chivi Bar Yosa? Rav Ashi has two pshat. One pshat, Rashi says Bar Yosa means like outside, the ones that are royes ba'afar, they graze out in the field. These are like the real strong animals. But the bottom line is animals have it. And because animals have it, I don't think it can a sign of some ailment, some illness, something unusual. As a result, there shouldn't be a treifa. Not just that, Rav Huna Mar Bar Avya told Rav Ashi they even have a name for this uni. V'karu la tabachi, the butchers call it inunisa de varda. They call it the uni of the varda. A varda is a rose. Rashi says why they call it a rose for two reasons. Number one, it had the texture of a rose. And number two, it was red like a rose. But either way, the Gemara says, "Hani, immediately the only time this is true that it's okay is migavoy. That's only Rashi says mitachas if it's on the bottom part of the reya aval agaba. But if it's on the top part, or some say tatoi means underneath, gaba mean would be from behind, then afilu kitarpa daasa." Treifa, that's a tricky word there, tarpa. But even if it's not ketreifa da'asa, but it's ketarpa da'asa, right? Tarpa's with an aleph and treifa's with a hey. But a tarpa da'asa means the leaf of a hadas. Even if it's so small, it doesn't matter. That in and of itself is going to be a treifa. So either way, a whole discussion over here in the Gemara regarding a lung that has an extra uni. So Rava had put that in his Shulchan Aruch of all these deformities of the Reya, and that are considered treifa, this would also be considered a treifa. Stating that, Mereimar held no, that really would be kosher. However, the one that's beni beni would be a treifa, but what we see is that even the one that's beni beni, lavdafka, is going to be a treifa, because kol hani chivi bar yosa hachi yislu. It even has a name, it's called the inunisa de varda. Okay, so does that mean that it's always going to be okay? No, it's only going to be okay if it's gavoy, but if it's gaba, it could be so small, it could be like the, not treifa, like the tarpa, the asna, and even then, it's going to be considered treifa. Amar Rafram, Rafram said, Hai rei de dam yulu ufta. If you have a lung that's like wood, treifa, it's a treifa. So what does that mean, that the lung is like wood? The Gemara is going to bring three pshat. Ikedamri, some say bechazuza, it looks like wood. Ikedamri begishta, some say it feels like wood. Ikedamri, going back to the chazusa, this is not a third pshat, but this is a pirish on the aforementioned pshatin. So some say it's bechazusa. What does it mean bechazusa denaficha? It means that it's, Rashi says, bloated, and as a result, it has a white color, which is the color of wood. Some say defechiza, that what it means is it feels like wood. What does it mean it feels like wood? It's hard. So again, it's a little tricky, this Gemara. Some say it means bechazusa. Some say it means begishta. Those are the first two ikid amris. Two Perushim, and what it means that the Reya is like what? It looks like what? It feels like what? The next two Ikeda Amris are a Pirish LePerusha. It's a Pirish on the first two Ikeda Amris. And it's a Rishon, Rishon, Val Achrin Achrin. Ikeda Amri Dinaficha, that's the Pirish of Chazusa. It's bloated, that's the Metzias of why it would look like wood, and what way does it look like wood? It's white. Ikeda Amri Dinaficha, that's a Pirish on the fact that it feels like wood. What does it mean? It feels like wood, it's hard. Stating that, the ikadamri, this is the fifth ikadamri, but it's really the third shot, and that is the Shia, that when we say a ray, that's damyul uf the treifa, means when it's smooth, the less like chitucha de uni. It doesn't have little ways of determining when we go from one uni to another uni. So again, the ray is supposed to have five of these unis, so you would expect that if you would put your hand over it, you'd be able to feel the indentation, and you'd be able to know where you go from A to B to C to D to E. In the event that it's smooth, it doesn't have the chitucha, the uni, that's what we mean when we say that it's like wood. Bottom line is, either it has the color of wood, or it's hard like wood, or it's smooth like wood. Three pshatim in what Rafa meant when he said, Hai reya de damya lo ufta treifa, says the Gemara. Amar Rav. Another halacha from Rava related to the Reya. Kikuchla ksheira kdiyosa treifa. In the event that the Reya looks blue, it's going to be kosher. In the event that it's black, it's going to be a treifa. Why, if it's black, isn't going to be a treifa? Amar Bchanina, it's based on something Rav Chanina said, shachar. Now, Rav Chanina said this in the laws of Dam Nida. He said that in the event that a woman has dam that's black, so the halacha, she's a Nida. And the reason is because we look at it as adaim hu ela shalaka. It's red that just b'meshach hazman turned black. But the point is, black is a sign of blood. Black is a sign of blood. If you have a reya that's black, that's very bloody, there must be some nekovim, there's issues going on over there. And it's for that reason that is going to be a treifas. If it's kochal, it's going to be kosher. But if it's shachar, then already kedusa, like dioy, right? Black ink, then already it's going to be a treifa. What about yoroika? What if it's green? So yarek sometimes is yellow, sometimes it's green. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says kemin asofen. Rashi says like grass, so I guess it's green. It says the Gemara, kshneira, it's going to be kosher, midir abnosen, based on something Rav Nosen said. Aduma, what would be if the reya is red? Kshneira, that's also going to be kosher. And that's also midir abnosen, based on something Rav Nosen said. So what did Rav Nosen say? And did Rav Nosen say something about treifa? The answer is no. This Rav Nosen is actually a famous Rav Nosen. It was something that he said in the context of Mila. So a tiny bit of a digression. Tiny bit of a digression. I once was b'krakayam. Pasi isha achas lefanai, and there was a woman that came to me. Shemola ben arishim meis sheni umeis. She had two sons that she gave bris milah to, and rachmana lezon, they both died. Shlishi hevi atu lefanai, and she had a third son, and she didn't want to give bris milah because she was afraid. So she brought her son to me, and she said, "What could I do, Rebbe?" Reisiv, Rav Nosson said, "I looked at this baby. Shahaya adam, and I saw the baby was red. Amartila, I told her, biti my daughter. Hamtini loy atne yivla baydamai. What's going on over here is that the ivarim haven't properly absorbed the blood. Wait a little bit until it absorbs the blood, and then it's going to be okay." Meaning, the reason your two older children died is because they had some issue that they bled out as a result of the milo. And the reason they're bleeding out is because the blood is not properly absorbed in the body. Give it a little bit of time, it's going to absorb it a little bit better, and then you'll be able to do the bris milah, there's not going to be an issue. Says the Gemara, Himtina lo, she waited, Umala oisei, she gave a bris milah, V'chaya, the baby lived, V'yukairin oisei, they used to call the baby Nosan Habavli, not Nosan. Nosan Habavli, with the surname. They would call him literally by that name. Al Shmir, Nosan was the one who's talking. He said, and then, you know, obviously named after me. Nosan Habavli said, I was once a Kaputkia, and you wouldn't believe it, a very similar story happened to me. It's not the same story. You have to look at it carefully, but it's a similar story. Basa Isha Lefanai, a woman came to me, Chamala, Benarisha, and Umay, Shani, Umay, Shalishi, Aviatu Lefanai. And again, she brings to me her third son. Reisev, I saw the child, Shaya Yaruk. The child was Yaruk. So usually you would think that yarek means yellow, right? A baby that's yellow sounds right. But in the context of Rashi teaching yoroika as green, and as we'll see in a minute, we're bringing this braisa to support Rava's halacha, so maybe it's green. But either way, shayu yarek, he tzatzti boy. I looked at the child, v'lehoyu boy dambris, and I realized the child did not have dambris, and it was being manifest itself in this color of yarek, amarti la. So I told this woman, biti, my daughter, hamtini le'achipa boy damoy, wait until the color changes, until the baby develops the blood that it needs. Now, this baby was very pale, and Rav Nosson Habavli understood that it's pale because it was suffering from a lack of blood, right? And as a result, Rav Nosson Habavli says, right, wait until the hemoglobin builds up a little bit, and like this, the blood count will be higher, and you'll be able to do a proper bris milah. Simtina loy, she waited, umala oisai, and then she did a bris milah, v'chaya, and the baby lived, v'yukayra noisai, and they used to call this baby Nosson Habavli al shmi, after me. The bottom line is a classic, fascinating mark. By the way, we once suggested that could be the reason Rav Nosson Habavli is traveling around, because we know Rav Nosson Habavli was a shutif, the unsung hero of the formation of the Mishnah. Rav Acha Brei de Rav is the unsung hero of the formation of the Talmud. Rav Nosson Habavli is the unsung hero of the formation of the Mishnah. And we once said over a Mechkar from Ruf Margolis that it could be his role was that he was Rav Nosson Habavli and Rav Nosson was in Eretz Yisrael. And he had to bring all the prices and everything from Bavel. It could be not just from Bavel, but from all the, right, all the surrounding areas. So Rav Nosson Habavli is traveling. Could be this is all part of his geschäft and part of his role in the creation of the Talmud. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? You see from here that in the event that you see the color of green or you see the color of red, this is something that can be reversed. I mean, it's a sign that something is off right now, but it doesn't always have to be that way. Just like the baby that was Yoroik. What Rav Nosson Ababli say? I'm teeny. And you'll see everything is going to be okay. And the baby that was Yoroik, it was Adam. What did Rav Nosson Ababli say? I'm teeny. And everything is going to be okay. Zok the Rava. Well, if that's the case, I think we have a tzushtel. And that is, in the event that you have a reya, that's Yoroik or that's red. Just like we saw from the mice in Rav Nosson Ababli, this is an issue for sure, because the bris milah would have killed the baby. But at the same time, hamtinila, and everything is going to be okay. So to a dereya, it's not a sign of a trefa, and as a result, it's actually going to be kosher. Rav Kahana said, kikavda, a lung that looks like liver. Kshera is going to be kosher. Kibisra, if the lung looks like basna, trefa, it's going to be trefa. V'simanich, a good way to remember which is which. Ubasar, basada trefa. Kshmak. So basar, basada trefa, that in the event that the reya looks like basar, trefa, that's a bad sign. Amarav sama brei de rava. Hai reya de damya, ke kashusa u ke morika u ke goyim biyasa. So if you have a lung that looks like kashusa, these are hops of beer fame. Kamirika is saffron, very expensive spice. And beyasa is an egg. So if you have a red that looks like those colors, trefa, it's going to be kosher. Rashi says that these are all minim of yorek. They're all forms of yorek. What's the point? That even though we said earlier that yorek is not a sign of a trefa, we learned it from Nosson Ababli, but there are different shades of yorek. And therefore, if it looks like koshusa, marikum, beyasa, it's going to be trefa. Eli yorek, diksher, hechidami. Okay, so, right, we said yorek is supposed to be kosher. When is that? Kekarsi, that's when it's yorek, like leek of simonim of Rosh Hashanah fame. Omer Ravina, Ravina said, otum bereya. In the event that there seems to be some pkak, right? There seems to be some clog inside the lungs of the animal. So there's clearly something there. Rashi says, "Tuchta de metamtem." Right? There's a timtum, not a leva, timtum areya. V'loy ayil zika bigaveh. And there's no zika that's going in. So the sheichet is blowing the reya. This is not the first time we've seen this, clearly to try to determine if this trephus is. He's blowing into the rea, and there's one part of the lung that's not inflating. There's clearly some obstruction there. And the question is that a sign of something that would render the animal a trepha, or is that not? So Ravina says, this is what you're supposed to do. My sinin sakina, bring a knife, vikarinala, and you should go and cut it. I ispa mugla, meaning that area where the clog is. If there's pus, vade machmas mugla hu ukshera, then probably the reason you had this backup, the reason the Zika wasn't going through, was a result of the pus. Pus is not a sign of anything too terrible, and as a result, it's not going to be a treif of eloy. And if not, so now we're ready, you have to figure out what's going on. So now you got to do another procedure. So meisvina la gadfa ayruka. So you take a feather, or you take spittle, and you put it on top of it. If it starts fluttering, then ksheir, it's kosher. And if not, trefa, it's a sign that it's a trefa. Meaning, if it's going to flutter, so that's a sign that there is a little bit of Zika that is getting through. And if Zika is getting through, so then it's a sign that this clog that you thought you had over here is not so bad. If nothing's getting through, again, there's no pus, and clearly nothing's getting through because nothing's fluttering. Well, in that case, trefa, it's going to be a trefa. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, krum sha'ola machmas matka bereya, enoi krum. In the event that there's a krum, there's like a scab that the lung has, and it's clearly machmas matka, the loch is enoi krum, it's not going to be a krum. The point is the reya is going to be a trefa. This is a very important one line. And really, this one line takes us back to Shitas Rashi b'tchilas sadaf. And that is, Rav Yosef said that if you have a reya that has a scab, that's a sign that there was a makkah. I mean, a makkah, there was some sort of nekev. A nekev in the reya is a sign that it's going to be considered a trefa. If you remember, we spoke that from Rashi. Rashi shita is, that's only true if it doesn't heal. But if it heals, it's going to be okay. So says Rav Yosef, what if there's a scab? Is the scab considered healed? The answer is no. Krum sha'ola machmas maka bereya, ain't a krum, it's not going to be considered krum. Now, Tosfos would say, ain't a krum, meaning It could stick, it could not stick. Once the animal's a treif, it's going to be a treifa. Rashi, like we mentioned, holds that really a sircha, to the extent that it's going to stick, like the two unim that are next to each other, that are attached by a sircha, that already is considered a reversal, but that's only because it's taka going to stick. The point of krum, sha'ola machmas makabreya, in a krum, is not that it's not going to stick, it's fakir. It's that it's not going to stick according to Rashi, and because it's not going to stick, so it's for that reason not going to be okay. So again, either krum shalom machmas makabrei in a krum, because I don't care, you can have a krum from today till tomorrow, it's not going to help you, or it's because b'mitzias, it's not considered a refuah, and that's really telling the machlek is Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of the daf. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, now this Rabbi Yosef better sound familiar because we learned this together yesterday. Hi Reya, the afsha. So again, the butcher takes the Reya out of the animal, he blows it and it's hissing, it's making a lot of noise. It's a sign that there might be a nekev somewhere, and that's what this noise is. A nekev in the Reya obviously is a problem, but he doesn't know if there's a Reya or not. He doesn't even know where the noise is coming from. So he has to roll his sleeves up literally and get to work. If he can figure out where the noise is coming from, so he takes either a feather or a straw or spittle and he puts it on top of the ear. If it's because it's too much ear coming out. And if not, it's going to be kosher. Now, let's say he doesn't know where the hissing is coming from. He brings a little bucket that has lukewarm water, and he puts the ray inside of it. Don't take boiling hot water to the kafsi, because it's going to cause the hole to contract and you're not even going to know if there's a hole there. Big creary, if it's cold, the matarshni, because it's going to cause it to expand and you're going to get a false positive, right? What you should do is you should take lukewarm water. If it's going to be mevatzvitz, treifa, it's going to be a treifa. And if not, ksheira, it's going to be a kosher. Now, what's this hissing going on? Like, what's happening here? The reason is, tatoink. If we assume that the lower membrane, remember the two membranes of the Reya from yesterday's daf, the Tatra has a nekev, Ila Loyinkev, whereas the other one does not have a nekev, Vaidav Shazik the Medibaniu, and the reason the Zik is because there's a little bit of ear coming out, but it's not Mavatzvitz, it's not on that level where it's actually getting out. There's a hole in the Tatra, not in the Ila, and the Gemara had brought this in yesterday's daf to prove that a nekev in the Tatra, not a nekev in the Ila, it was a whole discussion in the Gemara, is itself not going to be a Trefa. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Reya, shenishpacha kekitan ksheira. If the reya disintegrates to the point that you can literally pour it, give me a glass of reya, no worries, right? If it's at that point, you would think this is a treifa on arrival. Nope. The halach is ksheira, it's going to be cautious. Okay, Gemara, Alma Kosava, what do you see? Rabbi Yechanan must be of the opinion that in the event that one of the internal organs have a chisaron, are missing something, it's not in and of itself considered a chisaron. Rabbi asked the following question. Our Mishnah said that in the event that the reya has a nekev, or it's chaser, says the Gemara, my chaser, what does chaser mean? Doesn't mean that it's chaser mibachutz. It means that one of the membranes has a chisaron. It's not the actual reya, but it's mibachotz. Well, hainu nikva. Isn't that what a nekev is? Elolav mibifnim. It must be, it's the inside part of the reya that has this chisaron, not the part that's exposed. But when you kriech into the kishkas of the reya, right, that's an oxymoron, but in the kishkas of the reya, that's where this issue must be. Vishma minachsar mibifnim, shmei chisaron. Must be that a chisaron imibifnim is considered a chisaron. In other words, ula send the name Rabbi Yoich, on that if the inside part of the reya becomes chaser, it's to the point where it's nishpecha kekitoin. Even so, it's going to be kosher. And he explained it with a lamdis. Chisar mi befnim loish mei chisar. Isfira Baba Ula. So Ula is one who set up with the salach. Rabba turns to him and he says, Ula, it's mamash keneged our Mishnah. The Mishnah says if there's a nekev or there's chisar. Nekev means the membrane. We went through that already. Ila, tata. It means the membrane. What does chisara mean? It means the membrane? That's a nekev by definition. So must be it's mibifnim. So you see, not like you're Allah and not like you're alumnus. You see that in the event that nishpecha kikitain, it's a trefa, and the lumdis of chisar mibifnim is really shmei chisaran. So the Gemara says, la mibachotz. I'm going to tell you. Now when it says in the Mishnah, chaser, it means the membrane was chaser. It means bibachas. Utika amri tainu nikva. What was your kasha? Your kasha was, well, if that's the case, hainu nikva, right? What's the difference between nekev and a chisar? Nekev means as a whole, so something's missing. So isn't that the same thing? And if anything, it's more than that, because chesaron is even worse than nikva, right? You could technically have a nekev that doesn't have a hole. Right, how do you have that? There's a hole, but you didn't lose any matter. Just the area around the hole expanded a little bit. So it's even worse than nikva. But the Gemara says, yeah, it is worse than nikva, and that's precisely the point, as we're going to see. Tzricha l'Rab Shimon. The reason the Mishnah mentioned nikva and chasra, it's negay Rab Shimon's halacha. What did Rab Shimon say in the Mishnah regarding a nekev in the Reya? The Amar, he said, achati nokev lebeis nasim poinois. Rab Shimon said that if the Reya has a nekev, that in and of itself is not necessarily a problem. Unless the nekev goes all the way to the Beis HaSimpoinois, right? That's the Simpon HaGadol, the bronchi of the Reya. The reason the Mishnah split Nikva and Chasra is because in Rab Shimon's world there's a chilek. The only time it has to go all the way to the Beis HaSimpoinois, Hanimil Nekev Veles Bechsarin. Aval Nekev is Bechsarin. In the event it has a Chsarin, I feel Rab Shimon Moida, if Rab Shimon is going to be Moida. So La'olam, a Nekev and a Chsarin is both in the membranes. Because if it's in the Reya itself, so why do you have to tell me both? Isn't it the same thing? And if anything, once I know nikva, I know chasra. The answer is yes and yes. But at the same time, ichabs and afkamina in Reb Shimon's world. Where ichabs and afkamina is that Reb Shimon, who holds that a regular nekev in the reya doesn't render it a treifa, that's only true if there's no chasarin. If there's a chasarin, it would render it into a treifa. The reason the Mishnah mentioned the nekev that's less bechsarin, and the neck of that is bechsarin, is because of the nafkamina la'alacha that you're going to have in Shitas Rab Shimon. But if there was no Rab Shimon in the Mishnah, all you would mention is nikva, and I would know everything that I need to know. Rab Chananya, or some have the girsa Rav Asi, cholash. Olegabe Rab Nosson. Some have the girsa Rab Yonason. So if it's Rab Chananya, then it was olegabe Rab Nosson. If it's Rav Asi, it was olegabe Rab Yoichanan. But the Gemara says, we'll go with the girsa we have in our Gemara. Rab Chananya cholash olegabe Rab Nosson v'chol gedoyli adar, and all the gedoyli adar, aysu kamei reyes shenishpecha kikitoin. So they came to be mevake chayla Rab Chananya, and they brought Rab Chananya reya that was nishpecha kekita in the achshur, and he says it's kosher. It feels a little bit like they were trying to be ma'orer in Shemayim, that just because someone is in a matziv that looks like treifa doesn't necessarily mean that the person is a treifa. Otherwise, what's pashupshan in the story? But either way, you know, we brought you a gift. It's not a bottle of wine. It's not a sefer. It's not a get well card, right? We have a reya shenishpecha kekita. Oh, thank you. I didn't know I was in the market for a reya shenishpecha kekita. And this is probably the rest of the story. But either way, I'm at Rava said, who did Kamiya Simpoin? It's the only time it's true that a reya shenishpecha kekita is going to be kosher. And again, this is based on the idea that a chsar mi bifnim is loish me chsarin. That's only if the simpoinois are still there. These infamous simpoinois still have to be there. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ale Rav Ashi. Nachamal. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ale Rav Ashi. Not Yadinon. How do you know if the simpoinois are there? Amalei, he said, there's a science experiment that everyone could do literally in the comfort of their own home. Maisinon Sa'ad Kunya. What you do is, Rashi says, you bring a ka'ara shal cheres, you bring a plate that's made of earthenware, hamechupe ba'avar, that's covered with lead, v'shavchina la'begava, and you take this reya, shenishpecha kekitain, and you pour it into this ka'ara. I ispashu reiki chivri, if it has like white lines, treifa, it's a sign that it's a treifa, v'iloy, and if not, ksheira, it's going to be a kasha. What's the point? If it has these white lines, it's a simen that it's the simpoinois that disintegrated, so it's loikaimi simpoinois. They're there, but not the way you want them to be there. So, in the event that that's what you see, it must be a treifa. Otherwise, it's going to be a kasha. Amar Rav Nachman. Nachman said, Reya Sheni Moika. The Reya that was Ni Moika. So, Rashi says, what does that mean? Nisroikna me'elea miktsasa. Ve'ena nishpecha kekitoin achbe miktsasa. So it's a little bit nishpecha kekitain, but it's not 100% nishpecha kekitain. So nishpecha kekitain means when the whole thing was liquefied. You could literally pour the whole thing out. But over here, it's nisroikna. A little bit of it is missing. So Reb Nachman said, Reya sheni moika, v'krum shel kayim. If the krum is kayim, the membrane that surrounds the reya, ksheir it's going to be kosh. Tain nami hochi, it's a mefurish of rice. Reya sheni moika, v'krum shel kayim. Afilu machzekes revias ksheir. Even if the gap that you have now in the reya, as a result of what spilled out, is big enough to be machzekes or revias, so that's missing a lot, right? It's still going to be kosher. Nitla shlav chuches, in the event that the womb of the animal was taken out, ksheir, it's also kosher, right? This has nothing to do with the reya, but as merechim fin treifas. And finally, hislia kovet shalah, in the event that the liver became wormy. This was a real story. And the Bnei Asya, they were the ones that had the story, and they were oila regel three times in Yavna. Yidden were being oila regel in Yavna, right? It's a little bit of an oxymoron. Ali oila regel has to be in Yerushalayim. It's the b'makom asher yivchar. But this is obviously when the Sanhedrin was in Yavna, and even though they couldn't be mekayim the real ali oila regel, because the real ali oila regel has to be the makom hamikdash, and the real ali oila regel comes with karbonis. You can't bring karbonis in Yavna, obviously, right? So there was some form of ali oila regel even after the churban ki yodua, iron rate bites. But the bottom line is, oila regel shlishi, by the third yontif at Yerulahem, they said that it's mutter. This concludes today's daf. So as it relates to raid, I think it's kedai to go back to a gemara that we learned together in yesterday's daf. I had the schus to speak to Ramosha Shlomiok yesterday, and he asked me if I spoke out the bakanta vart from the Hilgach Sam Sofer on daf Memvav. And I'm guilty as charged. I told him that I didn't, but it's a marumakam nifla. It's related to something that we've spoken about together several times already. And befrad, I think it's geshmak to speak out because it's negeya chulin daf memvav, it's negeya parshas koirach, and it's negeya rish chodesh tamus. So this is very much Dover be'itay matoiv. So the Gemara on Daf Memvav Amar Aleph told a story. Ahu pulmasa, the asala pumpadisa. There was a pulmasa. There was a chil, right? A group of soldiers that were working for the king that came to the city of Pumpadisa. And Pumpadisa, of course, was an ir of Ein B'Yisrael. And Rabban Rav Yosef, they were the manhigim of Pumpadisa, and the Gemara says, Arku Rabba Rav Yosef. Rabban Rav Yosef ran away. Pagabu Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira met them. Omaluhu. So Rav Zeira turns to Rabban Rav Yosef, and he says, Arukai, fugitives, Kizayisha Amru B'makim Mara. Do you know that when the Mishnah says, on Daf Nun Dalet Amar Aleph, that the Kaved that's missing from the animal, but there's a kezias that's left, it's still not going to be a treif, it's going to be okay, that one kezias is going to be matzel, that's only if it's been mokim mara, if it's in the area of the gallbladder, but if there would be a kezias somewhere else, not. Rav Ad Bar Hava Amar, Rav Ad Bar Hava was there, and he said, no, ben mokim shichaya. It doesn't have to be dafkin, the mokim of the mara, but as long as it's ben mokim shichaya, it's going to be okay. Rashi had two pshat in what it means, ben mokim shichaya, underneath the kidneys, underneath the diaphragm, but the bottom line is, the Gemara tells a very cryptic story. There was a pumasa that descended upon Pumpadisa. Rabbi and Rav Yosef ran away. Rav Zeira, who's together with Rav Ad Bar Hava, meets them. Rav Zeira says, Arukoi. This is how you speak to the G'dayli Adar. Arukoi, fugitives, he says. And I want to tell you halacha. And you know what halacha he tells him? He tells him halacha in Perikei Lutrefis, that's Negeya Nitla HaKaved. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Amar Aleph, that if there's a kezias left over, it's not going to be considered a treifa. So zvis and heavy idea, you know where that kezias has to be. It has to be makom mara. Rav Ad Bar Hava says, no, but makom chiyusa, that in of itself is going to be okay. And at first glance, the Gemara, the backdrop of the Gemara, not the halachas, but the backdrop of this Gemara is Einoy Oimer Elo Darsheni. It's Yodua that the Hilchos Sam Sofer wrote a sefer, B'Ksav Yad Kodshoy, called Sefer HaZikaron. Chassam Sofer didn't publish the Sefer HaZikaron, just like he didn't publish any of the Sfarim that he wrote. But he wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaZikaron, and it's very, very unique. It's unique in the world of Sifrei Chassam Sofer, and really it's unique in the world of Sifrei Gedolei Hadar, because it's a diary, an autobiographical account of events that took place to the Chassam Sofer, Bechprat, and to the city of Prishborg, Bechlal, in the year Tov Kuf Samech Tes, 1809 Lemesparim. So the background is the French Revolution, and Napoleon and his army is fighting with the Memshalah that Prishborg was Tachtam. And in the year 1809, the French army made its way towards Prishborg. And the Yidden at that point were in a tremendous state of Sakana. Got to the point that the Chassam Sofer felt that to save his life, he had no choice, but he had to run away. And he spent a good part of the year Tavkuf Samachtes and Tavkuf Ayin away from his Kehillah. And during that time, he kept a diary and he chronicled the events that were taking place. Now, if you go through the Sefer HaZikaron, so obviously there's a lot of Torah. It was written by the pen of the Chassam Sofer. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of Torah. But what's interesting to note is that there's also a lot of other things that are happening. And the Chassam Sofer talks about the surrounding events. You know, he talks about different casualties. He talks about different people of his Kehillah. In the world of Sifrei Chassam Sofer, this is an absolutely fascinating read. If you look in the Hakdama, there's a one paragraph introduction that the Chassam Sofer wrote. And he says why it is that he's writing this Sefer. And he says the reason is because he witnessed incredible miracles that year. And I feel that I want to tell these stories. In fact, he has a line. If I would be able to write and tell you some of the things that I knew were going to happen before they happened, however, I know that the people are not going to believe me because unfortunately we're living in a very shvacha generation, so I decided that I'm not going to write as much as I think I could write. I'm writing only Rashi Parkim Lezichron Bein Eini Lilavadi, and I don't know what this all means, but the bottom line is, I'm sorry for witnessing incredible miracles in his own Edus, and that was really the point of what the Sefer HaZikaron is. On Tes Tammuz, this was during that year, the Chassam Sofer left his hiding and he came back into the city of Prishbark. It was Thursday night. It's Or Le'erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas. And he gathered together all the Bnei Akehila and he said that he wants to give a drasha. It's interesting, in the Sefer HaZikaron, the Chassam Sofer writes that throughout this entire Tkufa, he was in hiding. And he never went out in public. He certainly never went out to Darshan in public. He said, but he had made a neder that at some point he was going to give a shir berabim. And he says it was on that night, Oshi Lamti Nidri, Lidroi Shtivrei Musar berabim bebeis HaKnesses HaKdoish HaGadoilo. Gam ki b'chol oysen ayomim leinereisi hachutz hachutz lechidri asher nestarti sham. He said, I never wanted to leave my hiding. Mikomokim atas tamachti al schus talmoteir derabim. V'nesfu amoyin am Hashem kal gadol Hashem Yosef aleim v'yavarchim kashuti b'lehem. V'alachti l'sham v'amarti divrei musar v'agada v'sairis tshuva toidu l'kel yisparach v'akoyhane v'am ha'imdim sham b'azara k'hayu shoymim ha'yu makdim enasa l'mishma ki nizbar li mehar b'mehem milvad asher sham b'oisei maimit shavu v'neschartu u'bochu So the Chassam Sofer writes that you can't imagine what a maimed it was. It was an incredible maimed. I gave the shir mitoich mesiras nefesh, and I felt that the schus of Talmud Torah, the rabbin, was going to be matzel. And he said there were yidden that were there that were crying. And he said I got reports afterwards that every person went back and he was mesakin in his own life. Eis natikin, something that he felt needed a little bit of fixing. Amish, absolutely marveling. So if you go through the drasha that the Chassam Sofer gave, it's a very long drasha. In fact, it's, if you have the new drasha Chassam Sofer, it's the very first drasha that's printed in Chelake. Now really, this drasha was not in the original krochim of drasha Chassam Sofer. It comes from Sefer HaZikaron, but Kiyadua, who was the Masader of drasha Chassam Sofer? It was Rabbi Yosef Naftuli Stern, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Lavracha. And when he was Masader drasha Chassam Sofer, he writes in the beginning, I'm making this the first drasha, I'm taking out of the Sefer HaZikaron. I feel that this is something that very much belongs together with all the drashas, not merely tucked away in the Sefer HaZikaron. And throughout this drasha, he has different pirushim and different hoysophis that he brings. A lot of the hoysophis come from the Sefer HaZikaron. So if you don't have the Sefer HaZikaron and you look at drashas Chassam Sofer, drush Aleph, and Chelek Hei, you'll see a lot of the hoysophis that are brought down in the pirush HaYosef, which is Rabbi Yosef Naftuli's pirush. Now, one of the things that the Chassam Sofer mentioned in his drasha that he gave on that night was that we know the story of Korach. And the story of Korach immediately follows the story of the Meraglim, which is a story that we know as well. And at first class, my inyan Meraglim Eitzel Korach. Right? These are two parshias that follow in the Torah in succession. It seems like there's a little bit of a connection. So the Chassam Sofer said a Dovah Nifla. The Chassam Sofer said that Korach was able to gather his chevra to go up against Moshe and Aharon. He says it's poshit to me, b'li sofek, that these feelings that Korach had, he had a long time. He was harboring ill feelings towards Moshe Rabbeinu, probably from the onset, right? This is a Korach v'adosnoi, leider. And it was something that he felt the whole time. But at the same time, to go up against Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to be matzliach. Moshe Rabbeinu's approval rating was very high. And if you're going to go and you're going to try to chepezich with Moshe, the greatest leader of all time, it's probably not going to work out outside the Yosef. But after the story, the Meraglim said the Hilchos Chacham Sofer, Korach saw an opening. You know what he saw? He saw that under Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership, the Yidden just suffered this incredible catastrophe. And it was just nigzar on the Jews that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu had promised was really supposed to happen. And they're all going to die in the Midbar, and they're going to be there over a 40-year period. I mean, the Yidden was supposed to leave Mitzrayim B'Yad Rama, which they did. They saw Nisim, Ashalei, Roy, Yechesku, and Buzim, Yoylam, and they're supposed to make a beeline, supposed to get on the next flight to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to live in Utopia, and that's the way it's going to all end. And then it didn't play out that way. And he said, Korach understood that Moshe Rabbeinu's approval rating post the story of the Meraglim was suffering a little bit. He said there was no way in the world that it could have been as good as it once was. His lashon is that even if Klal Yisrael understood that it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's fault what happened, and it was Klal Yisrael's fault because they were the ones that wanted the Meraglim. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. But at the end of the day, when you're a leader, the buck stops by you. And there was this feeling and this hergish that Moshe Rabbeinu should have done something to prevent it. He should have davened to Hashem. He has a direct line. I mean, he went up for 40 days and 40 nights and 40 days and 40 nights and 40 days and 40 nights. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not go up for 40 days and 40 nights, come back and say that everything is going to be okay? And Korach knew that consciously and subconsciously the Yidden all of a sudden were not viewing Moshe Rabbeinu in that same invincible way that they had viewed him up until that point. And Korach used that opportunity to go and attack. And that's why right after the story of the Meraglim, that's what Korach sees his opening, and that's what Korach goes ahead and makes this move. So why did Chacham Sofer say this in this drash in Sefer HaZakaron? So the Heilige Chacham Sofer said that I heard rumblings. He said, I want to tell you, I heard rumblings. I heard that there are people that are a little taken aback that the city's under attack. There are cannon bombs flying all over the place. You can only imagine what's going on. And I got my proverbial visa, and I left town, and I got out, and I left my chevra behind, and I heard there are people that are very, very upset. He says, I have to tell you something. I always knew there were chassidim here in town that didn't like me. I've always had opposition. Every rav has opposition. I always knew that that was the case. I never paid too much attention to it. He said, but now I'm a little worried, because I feel like now there's this subconscious feeling amongst the kahila that the leader left and didn't do as much as he could have done. I feel like Moshe Rabbeinu, after the story of the Meraglim, where there's a Pesach kechudesh al machat for a Korach to come and to try to come and make some rebellion, some revolution. And as a result, I feel I owe it to everybody, even to the Pritzayam, he says. I owe it to them too, because that misses the Havatayim. I owe it to them too, and I have to come clean, and I have to explain why it is that I did what I did. Fascinating, and of course, brilliant. And the Chacham Sofer went, and the Chacham Sofer says that you should know there's already a precedent from Friya de Gedeiros, what exactly the leader of a nation is supposed to do when it finds itself in this kind of a situation. He said that when Prague was under siege, the Nedeb Yehuda tried leaving, but the Chevra in the city didn't let him leave. And they said, you're staying with us, because we need you. You're our leader. And there's no way you can go. And Nedeb Yehuda stayed. He stayed together with his kehillah. He said there were other kehillahs, Uberoisham, the kehillah of my Heilige Rebbe, my country that I come from, and that is Frankfurt the Main, where Frankfurt the Main was under siege, and my Rebbe, the Hafla, he ran away. So you have the Neid Yehuda, Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Hagoyle, who stayed. And you have my holy Rebbe, the Hafla, and he left. And he said, the truth is, if you think about it a little bit, and you're mispoinin, and you're ma'ayin chazal, elu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim. There's really merit to both sides of it. The merit to leave, said the Chassam Sofer, is because we know Chazal say ein chavush mater atzmi mi beis asurim. And if a person finds himself in a state of sakana, there's like a din almost ein chavush mater atzmi mi beis asurim. And therefore, it's very, very critical sometimes for the leader who has the ability to be mater asurim not to be a chavush, because if the leader himself is going to be a chavush and he's going to be in that same matziv, it's going to be a bechin of ein chavush mater atzmi mi beis asurim, and that would be a reason to leave. In fact, Chassam Sofer added, he said that he heard a remez from his Rebbe, Vayehi ben Soya ha'aron, that when the Aron travels, when the leader of Klal Yisrael, when the Torah is on the move, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu ha'ivecha v'yonusu misanecha mipanecha, that causes the enemy to run away. So he said, there's no question, that's a siba for the leader to leave. He said, but then again, we know Rashi says in Chumash, the Pasuk says, Vayishmol, kishom alikim al kol anar, ba'ashneru sham. And Zok Tehiliger Rashi, da'af agafta gam hagar ispalala al Yishmol, but the Pasuk says, Kishom alikim not al kol Hagar, but rather al kol anar. Mikol mokim lo shom al kol anar. Mishum de inedoy metfilas acherim bad achol metfilas achol bad atzmai. So really, Zok Tachsam Soivit, there's another bechina. There's a bechina that fakir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah of the cholim more than he listens to the tefillah of somebody else. And that would be a reason, that would be a reason for the leader to stay. So he said, they really both have merit. And in terms of Messiah, do I follow the mahalach of the Noida B'Yehuda? Do I follow the mahalach of my holy Rebbe, the Hafla? Truth is, one of the things the Chassam Sofer said, we've mentioned this many times in the past, and that is, we know the Pasuk says that when was it that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, which ultimately led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, by Yisrishan and by Yisheni. When was it Hufka here? So if you ask somebody, will tell you, Shivasa B'Tamas, right? Truth is a pasuk in Sefer Melachim that says that the Hufka ear of the first Beis HaMikdash didn't happen on Shavasa B'Tamas. It happened on Tes Tamas. Just listen to the beauty of the Strasha. Chassam Sofer is giving the Strasha on Tes Tamas, right? It happened on Tes Tamas. Now, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis says, as it shtim, we know the Mishnah says in Tainis, it was Shavasa B'Tamas, by Yisrishan and by Yisheni. And Dosh Teit Yud Zayin Tamas. So Tosfos says, Achilik, no, Yud Zayin B'Tamas is talking about by Yisheni, but Anachanami by Yisrishan was really Tes Tamas. But Tosfos then brings from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that really, you want to know when it was Hufka ear of Bayis Rishon, it was Shavasa B'Tamas, just like by Yesheni. Either Pasuk says Tes Tamas, is it 9 or is it 17? Which one is it? Says the Yerushalmi, it was really Yod Zayin, and the reason the Pasuk says Tes is because of a Taos that the Yidden made at that time, because they were under siege, and because they were in such a state of sakana, so therefore they made a mistake, and because they made a mistake, that's why they wrote Tes Tamas. There's a mistake in the Nach. That's what Yerushalmi says. A mistake. And how could they have made a mistake? The reason they made a mistake is, what do you mean? Because they're in concentration camps, right? Proverbially speaking. That's what's going on over here. And you expect them to know exactly what date, and they were off by a week and a day. And it's for that reason they went ahead and they made a mistake. So Zok Tachsam Sofer, why is it by Bayis Rishon they made a mistake, and by Bayis Sheni they didn't make a mistake? Says, I'm going to tell you why. Who was the leader of the Jewish people by Bayis Rishon? It was Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was in the blotter. He was in the ghettos. He was under attack together with the Jews. Who was the leader of the Jewish people during Bayis Sheni? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we know the Gemara says in the beginning of the Sugi of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, through his nephew, got smuggled out. He had an audience in front of the Kesar. Bayis Rishon, the leader, was also a Chavush. And because the leader was a Chavush, he was Torud and he was confused, like everybody else was. And that's why Yirmiyahu HaNavi writes in Navi, it was Tes when really it was Yud Zayin. Oh, but by Bayis Sheni, there was a leader at Yishev Adas. There was a leader that was able to think somewhat clearly. And as a result, therefore, there was no Taz. The chiluk was Yirmiyahu HaNavi was a Chavish himself, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He himself was not a Chavish. But the Chassam Sofer said, so really, you know, I was thinking, how do I go about this? And I understood that there are two approaches, right? There's really two ways to attack this. So what do? I follow the Noida B'Yehuda? Or do I follow my Rebbe D'Afla? So the Chassam Sofer said, V'imki l'achriya neni kedai. He said, but even though I'm not able to be machriya, I felt I had no choice. I had to be machriya. And the Chassam Sofer says that his achra was to go away. Ayin Shom, he says, we mentioned it in one of the previous raid bites. And that's why the Chassam Sofer ended up leaving. Toich Dvarav, when the Chassam Sofer is saying over his natzlos to the people, and specifically talking to the rabble-rousers, the Chassam Sofer said that with this sugya, I think you could understand something that we learned together not so long ago in Masechtas Chulin. And this is in Chulin, it's in Perikelu Trefis on Daf Mem Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Ahu Pomus Adasu Le Pompadisa. He said there were a group of soldiers that came to Pompadisa, Arku Rabbi Rav Yosef. And Rabbi Rav Yosef, who were the leaders of Pompadisa, they ran away. Pogabu Rab Zeira met them. Amali told them, Arukoi, fugitives, Kizayisha Umbru Bamakam Mara. That when the Mishnah says, Kovet Shenitla, if Nisha Kizayis, it's still going to be a kosher, but it's Tafkids Bamakam Mara. If it's not B'makim Mara, not. And Rabbi says, no, it doesn't have to be B'makim Mara. As long as it's B'makim Chiyusa, then in itself is going to be okay. For who Tamua? Veitach Sam Soifer, Ma Inyan Zela, Ma Shehem Arukoi. Avil said, Tach Sam Soifer, Ro Isi, Ma Yisav, and Eskarti Alocha. He said, I want to tell you something. I chapshat while I myself was a fugitive, while I myself was running away. And it was during this tkufa that it all came together to me. And it was during this tkufa that it all made sense to me. He said, why? He said, the mandama that holds that the kezayis of the covet has to be b'makim mara. So what's the beer? So the Rashba says in Teres Habayis, the reason is because you see, nitla ha-covet be'etzem doesn't make the animal into a treifa. What then is the reason that it would be a treifa? It's because you don't have the kezayis next to the mara. The reason is because the mara is something that the animal needs. And if it's nitla hamara, then the animal is going to be a treifa. The mara is protected naturally by the kaved, by the liver. If it's nitla hakaved, you're not going to have a mara. And that's where the tarfus is going to come from. So if you have a kezayis b'makam mara, it's going to be okay. But if you have a kezayis b'makam mara, who cares? It's not helping you. Because the Rashba says the whole cheshbin of why it is that nitla hakaved and it's nishtayr kezayis is okay, it's because it's the kezayis that's protecting the mara. That's why if it's shloi b'makam mara, it's not going to be fine. So he said the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kama Dav Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, there are 83 different machlas, kaminyan machla. There's 83 different machlas, and kulon tluyim b'mara. All the machlas are totally in the mara. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says even makas cherev. You find the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis halon netzach teochel cherev ki mara tia b'achreina. Mara is the word that Chazal used to describe machlis. Even makas cherev is something that was always described with the word mara. So said Chasam Soif, hashtu novel amuchuvim betz Hashem Yisbarach. The Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef Baruchu. Why did they run away? Mipnei ha-pumasa. Va'ozmu b'nei yo'ir v'sakana. But when they left the b'nei yo'ir v'sakana. U'motu lahatzal nafshan. But they went to save their own lives. Va'omalu rabzeir, rabzeir met them. And he said, Arukoi, fugitives. He was talking to them as fugitives. You're running away from your kehila. Lo yachin lasis came. What you're doing is wrong. Ki kezayis ha'omru b'makim mara. Ratzaloymer, kezayis ha-koved she'yogen. The koved that protects has to be b'makim mara. It has to be in the makam of the makah. It has to be in the makam of the machla. Because if the makah is here and the kovet that's trying to protect is over there, it's not going to protect. The kovet could only protect the mara. I'm selecting the mara. And you're the megan. Hayesh ba'etzimayin, right? You're the leader that's protecting the tzibur. You can't protect the tzibur if you run away. You have to go back to Pumpadisa right now, and that's where you have to be. V'sham yogim, v'loy sheyivrach ha'makim chiyusoy. Don't run away to a place where you're going to have calm and tranquility and say, I'll be there despite this, and I'll make tikkunim gedolim, and that's going to be the way I'm going to be able to save them. No, the kovet only has the ability to be megan on the mara if it's b'makim mara mamish. Abu Masik al-Shaf says, the Rav Adbar Hava Amar Loikein El Kizayish Ha'amru B'Makim Chiyusa Ratzalayim Ashaloy Yishar HaMegin Ima B'Makim Mara Shalem. It's better not to be in the Makim Mara El Yonus L'Makim Chiyusa Shaloyiyahu Chavush. He himself shouldn't be a Chavush U'Misham Yizrach Oirei La Yisharim L'Heir L'Aretz V'Ladarim. Both Shittas Oktach Sam Soifah hold like the Rashba that the whole Yisoid of the Kizayish of the Kovet is for the Mara. The Shaila is it better that it's b'makim mara, it's in the blata, or is it better if it's a little bit removed? Because if it's a little bit removed, it's going to be b'makim chiyusa. So the Chasam Sofer said that this Gemara, he even writes that when we were learning together in Shir Masechtas Chulin and Perkei Treifus, we were ma'irer ma inyan zela mas shehem arukoi avul ro'isi ma'isav in eskarti alach. Imagine what's going through the mind of the Chasam Sofer when he himself is an Arukai, when he himself is a fugitive. Either way, this is a little bit of the rest of the story of the life of the Chasam Sofer in the year Tovkuf Samech Tes and Kaf Tovkuf Ayin. Again, Im Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush of this fascinating idea of the Sefer HaZikaron, an incredible, incredible pshat in this Gemara over here, Chulin Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and a fascinating debate in terms of what the Manah Gadar is supposed to do. Is the Manah Gadar supposed to say together with the Sibur, or is the Manah Gadar supposed to leave? You know, just to end, I'm going to give a davar, but we're Alexander Chassidim from the Haim, and Alexander Rebbe, who was the manig of, if not the biggest, for sure the second biggest chassidus in Poland before the war, he didn't leave during the Holocaust. He could have left. He had visas, just like a lot of other big rabbis had visas. And he could have gotten out, and he decided not to come out. And that's why today he's known amongst Alexander Chassidim as the Akedas Yitzchak. He gave his life up. And the Ziknei Alexander said that the reason the Alexander Rebbe said he's staying, he said he's not making cheshbonis about you're supposed to go, you're not supposed to go, where it's better for the tzaddik to be able to pile. He said it was a ben adam lechaver de gecheshman. He said, I knew my chassidim needed a rebbe now, and if I'm there, I'll be mechazik them until the last moment, and that's why he stayed. It had nothing to do with these cheshbonis of ben adam lemakim. His cheshbon was a ben adam lechaver de gecheshman. Again, alzen nemar elu ve'elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. We should be zoiche not to have to tell stories like this, not to be arukoyes anymore, not to know from azal chenamaisis, but be a skilled tzaddik, b'mher b'yameinu amen v'amen.